You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 43. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Hey. Well, hello. How are you doing today? So today we're going to visit the topic. If you haven't already read the title and description, we're going to be talking about people pleasing, but specifically, we're going to be talking about people pleasing due to childhood trauma or some earlier traumatic event that it might still be unresolved with you. So I'm splitting this up into two topics. So on a separate day in the near future, I will be visiting like when we are people pleased by somebody, like against our will, more the love bombing and why we're attracted to that and all of that. Okay. So people pleasing, when we're talking about it coming from trauma, is basically the fourth phase of a trauma response, which is the fawn. We learned when we were kiddos that we needed to keep the peace in the house. This was our way of returning homeostasis back into our environment and wanting to do whatever we could to please likely our mom or dad. Right now, I'm just generalizing here, but who maybe did not send the message to you that it was safe to be yourself. So some way, somehow, if you tend to be on the people-pleasing side of things, you got the message early on that you needed to act differently than how you felt in order to keep the peace. So one way that you can tell if you are a people pleaser or a fawner is that you feel responsible for other people's actions. This is a huge one for me. I would always anticipate people's happiness and feel responsible if they weren't, right? I blame myself for everything. And I still, the tendency is to go there. I have to correct myself. I found myself doing it the other day when I was going to meet my dad for lunch. I wanted to go somewhere we hadn't been for a while and it was crowded. And then I found myself completely apologizing to him. I couldn't control how many people were there at the restaurant. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I never should have suggested this. Oh, I mean, I feel terrible. I felt overly responsible for suggesting this place that we were both going to eat because I was so concerned about whether he would be unhappy or not, whether this was an inconvenience for him. My whole life, I have felt like weirdly responsible for the happiness of other people. And sometimes when they're not even around me, right? Like I feel like I would be at fault for something that I wasn't even in the room or even in the country, the same area as them, because I made a suggestion for something and then they went to go do it and something happened when they were there, then it was my fault somehow. Anyway, so yeah, so if you feel overly responsible for other people's actions, right? Also, if you are ever like at an event or anywhere and you are more concerned about other people and whether they're having a good time, it's one thing when you're at your own event, like when you're holding it. And still, even then, you can only do so much, right? There's a boundary that we sometimes forget seems invisible to us. But when you're out somewhere and you notice that you're like doing the rounds to make sure everybody's okay. I used to do this at my friend's boat dock, always. I was like the mayor, like, hey, how are you guys doing over here? How's everybody doing over here? Everybody good here? Well, it's even my place. But I mean, there was like hundreds of people there. And I was the little butterfly that would go pop by to each group of people and make sure that everybody was having a good time. And if they weren't, then I would make sure that they did, that things would turn around. If somebody was crying, I was like, to make sure that they were having a good time. It never occurred to me that I was actually there for the same purposes they were, right? I was invited somewhere, but I feel like it's my obligation to tend to everybody's problems and to everybody's hopefully potential future happiness. So maybe you can relate to that. Another big one I know for me, and probably I'm assuming for y'all too, is that if you don't feel seen by others, like you care for the people that you love, and you care for their happiness. And so as a result of not wanting to inconvenience these people, you don't want to tell them what's going on with you. You don't want to bum them out. Even though it might not be about them or as a result of them, you don't want to tell them for fear that they might think it's about them. Does that sound familiar?
This used to start fights
with my ex. I wouldn't share what was going on with me because I either didn't think they could handle it or whatever, right? But then I would go to a bar or something and I would literally like vomit, emotional vomit, right? To somebody that I just met that night. I'm in the bathroom and some other chick was like in a fight with her boyfriend. And I just, everything that's been going on with me for the past, you know, however long, my deepest, darkest secrets were out. And then we were BFFs, you know, within 5 minutes in the bathroom or something. And so I would oftentimes put myself out there for people that I did not know at all, because that to me seemed less risky, right? It was this deep desire to always please the people that I love, to be the stable one, the happy one, the fun one, the entertaining one. And so who wants Shelby to be the bummed one, the one that needs the help? That wasn't my role in life. So I would not feel seen by all the people that I wanted to see me. And then I would share everything, my deepest, darkest secrets with people that had no idea who I was and probably never would. And so, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. In today's world, how we do that is, I know some of you out there will be like, you see me, because you'll do it like either in a Facebook post, or Reddit is another place where people will just blunt all the things, because Reddit is a safe place to do that. It's all anonymous. It's just something I never really even considered until very recently, like 6-8 months ago, is that I noticed that the people them around, I was like, why do I always have people around me that never ask me how I'm doing? How come I always pick the people that don't ask me how I'm doing? As soon as we start talking, they start going into this whirlwind about them. I'll be on the phone for 40 minutes. I was on the phone with somebody, I don't know, very recently. It was like an hour and a half of them talking about their stuff, right? And not once had they really, in the beginning, they're like, yeah, hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. I found myself so resentful and so annoyed with this person I was on the phone with. I was like, what, does this person think I don't have a life? Like, what in God's name? I was thinking that my whole life, that these are the kind of people that I just attracted. Well, yeah, it is. But you want to know why? It's because I have never sent off the signal that I was the type of person that wanted to be seen, right? I never wanted to inconvenience anybody with my personal information. So I kept it off. And the second that I would talk to somebody, even introduce myself to somebody, my neighbor across the way, I noticed that I would see her and she would just go into a whole spiel about her brother and about her mom and all these things. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? Hi, how are you? And I never understood it. And then I was like, wait a second. I'm not exactly providing the platform now, am I? I have already conditioned them to believe that I really don't share what's going on with me. But I do provide the platform for people to share what's going on with them. How are you? How's everything going today? Oh, that's great. How's your aunt? How's your brother? How's this? How's that? I provide that. I am there. I am willing. I like draw it from people, right? I really, truly do. And I do want to know most of the time. But yeah, I do want to know. I am interested. But do you want to know one thing that I only realized just recently is that I don't think it's entirely a selfless thing. I think I also want to know, because then that keeps me out of having to put myself in a vulnerable spot and share what's going on with me. Because if I do that, then what might happen? Maybe something that happened to me in childhood. Maybe I'll get shut down. Maybe it won't be accepted. Maybe I'll be being dramatic. Maybe whatever, you know, my old wound. There's something there that clearly is still, I have not gone back and looked at. It's not that people don't want to know how I am. I just have always sort of conditioned relationships in the exchanges to be that. So then they learn, okay, she doesn't really want to be asked how her life is. She never provides any information. So they stop asking those questions. It makes sense. That's not a road that they go down anymore. So they just go ahead. They know that I am interested in their lives. They just go on. Anyway, yeah. And that, my friends, is people pleasing from trauma. So also, I don't know, I think this one that I'm getting ready to share with you kind of fits in between my whole life. People used to tell me that I talked way too fast. And I've since slowed it down quite a bit. I don't even know exactly when that started to happen. I'm assuming during all the work that I was doing and when I was, you know, a hermit up on the hill. But I spoke so fast that, I mean, daily, multiple times a day, I would hear from people, God, will you slow down? Like, I cannot understand anything you're saying. And I would always tell people, listen faster. People used to call me the auctioneer. People that didn't know me at all would say, where are you from? Thinking maybe it was like a regional thing. They just couldn't peg it. It was very puzzling to so many people why I spoke so fast. And I remember being in my shrink's office, I don't know, maybe 5 or so years ago. And he was always strictly my, like a medication management. I would go in, and at the time I was on Lexapro, like an SSRI or something. And so I went in, it's a 15-minute appointment. We would say, hi, how are you? How's your family? Blah, blah, blah. He would ask me a couple questions and then out I went. And I remember one day, I don't know how it came up, in that tiny short little appointment, he's made the comment like, you talk awfully fast. You know that, right? I was like, yeah, I do. I think it's mostly just because I don't want to inconvenience anybody. So I just want to say it and get it all out and then just keep moving along. And that way I don't bother their days or something. And he just like looked at me, he nodded his head, and he was like, that explains a lot, Shelby. And I didn't even think about it. Like, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I, you know, like got up and bebopped out of there like it was nothing. And I could, and I, that was the kind of nervous energy I had at all times, right? I was just always very nervous, very fidgety, very person. I still am somewhat, but much more relaxed and less fast talking as back then. But anyway, so it came out then. I clearly knew, never put any thought into it at all, but I knew I needed to get the things out that I needed to say, and I wanted to do it in the least inconveniencing way possible. So that meant that I would just talk super, super fast, and I would just talk at people and then be done and get out of their way. That is a way that it showed up for me. So I don't know if any of you guys can relate to it out there, but yeah, another way you are willing to take the blame in order to keep the peace. When you are feeling upset with somebody in your life, oftentimes afterwards, we'll feel guilty for being angry and then try to take the blame for something that they actually did that maybe there's a reason why you're angry, like rightfully so. You might even to the point where you might even start second guessing yourself and maybe even go as far as to convince yourself that you are the one at fault. It happened because of you. And this is, I think, a key indicator that there's some unresolved trauma from childhood. Because as children, this is what we tend to do. When mom or dad is not able to handle you having emotions, and so instead they either invalidate you, ignore you, punish you. Yes, you guys all know that children end up believing that it's their fault. That yeah, they're upset, clearly, and it's my fault. And so we end up carrying that. And it's not like your brain that carries that, because like as an adult, you probably very well know that this is not my fault. That's their fault, right? When you're using your prefrontal cortex. But the thing is that your nervous system does not know that. And so that is where this kind of trauma is stored in your limbic system. It holds onto it. Like I was talking about this in one of the more recent-ish episodes. We think that we're stuffing our feelings down, but really we store all of that stuff in the limbic system. There's like an emotional memory. When we have a similar emotion to the one that we stuffed away, then your limbic system will remember and then pull out what happened in the past as a reference to like it's the roadmap for how you should respond in today's world. Even though your prefrontal cortex knows that this is not how we should respond, the limbic system is the system that takes over in that moment. And the prefrontal cortex is actually effectively numbed and shut down. Okay. So let me repeat that again. When you go back into the trauma response, you experience an emotion that is similar to or the same as the emotion you had when you stuffed down that core traumatic memory. The limbic system will recognize that emotion and shut down, numb the prefrontal cortex so as to act in this case, fawn mode. Okay. And so then whatever critical thinking skills you have, those aren't operable.
because right now we're working from the central nervous system, the trauma response system. Okay. So that is why when you hear people, this is a little bit off subject, but not at the same time, when you hear about people that have been abused, we used to hear this a lot, like up until, I can remember my dad saying it about somebody maybe 10 years ago or so, and I don't remember who it was, but people will say, well, why don't they just leave the person if they're an abuser, if they beat them, if they do whatever? I mean, gosh, I would know to leave them. How come they don't know to leave? It's not that the person that is being abused doesn't know that they should leave. The problem is that they don't have access to their critical thinking the way that you or that we all would when we're sitting and watching it from the outside. When that person is in that relationship, they're acting only from their central nervous system. And so you're only reacting from this emotional memory of what you did in the past. And so if the memory, emotional memory that your limbic system is holding on to remembers and knows what works and how you survived, that's its job, is to keep you alive. And it's going to do whatever it takes to do that. Anything else, all the other systems are shut the fuck down. So it makes sense if you were the peacekeeper of the family and if you were ever as a child made to feel like you couldn't be your authentic self, like you couldn't be you, it wasn't safe to do that. It makes sense that the next time that you had that same emotion in adulthood, that you would shut down too, okay? It doesn't always have to be from childhood. It could be from the narc that you know, maybe is alienating your child from you. So anyway, another thing that you might do is that you might overcommit yourself and then resent others for not doing the same, okay? So I don't know that this one always needs to be rooted in trauma, but I think it's definitely one of those that we do have as a result. If you overcommit yourself and you say yes to everything because you want to feel praised or feel rewarded or you need the acceptance, and not because you're an amoeba or you're spineless, but because that's truly how you grew up to know what feeling accepted and loved and valued was, you might overcommit yourself and not even realize that you're doing it. It's like a knee-jerk reaction to say yes to the thing. This is how I do it, is I'll say yes before I even have a chance to think about it. It's just like it's an instantaneous, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I'd love to do it. Sure, I'd love to do it. So I overcommit, right? And then I'll get pissed off when I see somebody else like chilling and relaxing and they're not as busy or as stressed out as I am, right? I'm like, why aren't they doing all the work too? And so I'll get mad. You know, I'll get resentful at myself for taking on the stuff. And then I'm talking to myself, muttering under my breath, like, why the fuck did I ever do this? What was I ever thinking? I compromise my own mental health and happiness in order to please somebody in the moment, which 9 times out of 10, I will say that when I accept whatever it is that they asked me to do, they could have asked 10 or 12 other people to do the very thing. They probably could have asked a monkey to do the things, right? And because in the moment, I felt like if I said yes, there was a part of me that's like, I'll get acceptance. When I'm not like thinking that in the forefront of my mind, but that is the driving factor. So I say yes, but really so many other people could have done it. It's not like something that only I could have done, which there are very few things that only I could do, just the same for you. So you might overcommit yourself for things that don't even really matter. And the person that's asking you to do the thing would be no skin off their back if you said no, you know? Or conversely, they could try to make you, guilt you into doing the thing, and you do it because you want them to not feel inconvenienced or upset. And you want them to think that you are the person that will always come through for them. And so then there's that, right? So you overcommit yourself because of that kind of need for acceptance. You want them to always be pleased with you and to think of you as the person that does all the things, which when you think about it, is ridiculous. It seems desperate, right? Which it really truly is. I don't know that I would ever categorize myself as being somebody that is desperate, but I think that fawning is definitely acts of desperation. You compromise your values. It's kind of what people pleasing really surrounds itself in, is valuing somebody else's wants and needs over your own, right? And Sometimes, in order to do that, many times, in order to value somebody else's opinions over our own, we need to dissociate from our own selves. Okay. We need to sort of like cut off and shut down our own desires and wants. And this is the big one that I really wanted to talk about. This is really what people pleasing is stems from, I think, or like fawning. I think we, in order to carry it out in adulthood, we really do have to learn to ignore what it is we want. And we honor that which other people want and desire, their goals, their aspirations. We either take on their goals as our own too, or their desires, you know, like when you are with somebody and like all of a sudden magically y'all have the same wants, the same goals. And oh my gosh, we both want the same things, you know? And really, truly, a lot of the times it's just that you may have had similar wants, but because of your tendency to fawn and people please, you sort of morphed your wants and desires more into what their wants and desires are. They sort of lean that way. And so over time, gradually, their wants and your wants are one and the same, yet your true wants and desires are left sort of in the dust, right? So yeah, overall, it's the limbic system's maladaptive way of receiving acceptance or validation, right? By mirroring the imagined expectations, it's what you're conjuring up, what you think the other person's expectations are. You act those out ahead of time. You anticipate by trying to fulfill the things that you think that they might want you to be doing, because this is what we learned, you know, from traumatic events that have happened in our past. And so when we look at it through that lens, as opposed to it being a manipulative behavior, it is. In essence, people pleasing is lying. You're not being truthful to yourself about what it is you truly want, right? But when we're talking about fawning, it comes from the need to survive, this emotional memory that we have stored inside of us in our limbic system. So it's a deep need. So it's not necessarily some calculated manipulative act on your part or anybody's part when they're acting this way. Yeah. Now, when we're talking about love bombing, we're talking about something different. Comes out in a much different way than our need to keep people happy. So yeah, I think people pleasing, it gets a bad rap. And I think we would all benefit from taking a much more understanding and proactive approach to looking at the behavior as a whole, right? And I think these days, I think it is coming around a bit more. And we know now, we don't just look at somebody when they're in the people pleasing or fawning state. And we don't always just jump to conclusions that they are a spineless amoeba that's desperately wanting attention, right? Or affection. Nowadays, we can ask the question, I wonder why. And so that is what my proposal is to you. If you notice that you have any of these qualities, it's highly possible that the self-chatter, the talk that's going on up in your head is not necessarily the nicest voice. You might be very critical of yourself. You might tell yourself that people are relying on you, that you need to overcommit yourself and that you need to ignore your wants, or that if you don't do those things, then you are not enough, that there's something wrong with you, you know, whatever. But I encourage you to come from a place of compassion for yourself, because there's a reason why you are this way. You are not this way because you are just a fixer, or that you are just somebody that everybody relies on, or because you are even codependent, right? You are this way likely because of things that happened early on. And we can't go back and change those things now, right? We can all agree on that. But we can have more compassion for ourselves today and get curious about why. Not because we need to solve the problems of the world or what happened before, but because then when we understand our own selves, then we're able to unlock a lot of that trauma and let it go, okay? But also then we're able to unlock so many parts of our future that we may have been blocking from ourselves. So When you stop abandoning your own wants and stop dissociating from your own wants in order to appease others, then you are on the right track. Actually, I think the first step is just becoming aware that this is happening with you. And then the next step, of course, is to stop answering or overcommitting yourself and start asking yourself the questions about what it is you truly do want. Spending the time with yourself and really listening to yourself and valuing what it is that you want. Even the little things, even the little tiny little things, like you want hot chocolate or you want to take a 20-minute nap. Like little things like that, start with those and you'll notice that more start to open up. And this is where the pleasures of life come. This is when you stop feeling like you're just existing or you're just, you know, feeling used and not seen by other people. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to provide a link in the show notes for you guys. If you want to, I've got like some little challenges for you to do in order to move you away from the people pleasing and fawning behaviors and more into becoming in tune with your own self and what it is that you truly desire and having your own back and truly being a support for your own self. That's what the PDF is going to be for you guys. Because truly, honestly, think about it, you guys, if you're not safe in your own being, right? If you're with yourself all day long, notice over the next couple of days, notice the way that you talk to yourself, the pressure that you put on yourself when you are in the place of like thinking that you need to do something in order to appease somebody else. Listen, I used to do it with the house cleaners. I know a lot of people do it. I would clean the house top to bottom before the cleaning crew came in. People I didn't even know. I mean, most of the time I wasn't even here. I never even saw the people, right? Not this house before, but I wasn't even home and I never even saw the cleaning crew come in. But I did not want them thinking that I was some like messy Marvin who whatever. It was crazy the kinds of things that I would convince myself that other people were thinking about me. And so because of that, I would like inconvenience myself and go do the job that I'm paying these people to come into my house and do so that they wouldn't think poorly of me or what they wouldn't judge me because God forbid somebody thinks anything that's inaccurate about me, right? And that's another thing is that in order to move yourself from being a people pleaser fawner, the most important skill that you can learn is going, well, there's a few very important skills, but one of them is having your own back and being nice to yourself on the inside. Start to notice. And when you're talking poorly to yourself or when you're pressuring yourself, what's the word I'm looking for? Like berating yourself. Notice that. And don't then berate yourself for berating yourself, which is very common. But instead, just notice it and be like, that's interesting. I'm like not even on my own team here. So because when you pressure yourself like that, then you're not even safe like with your own person, right? You're not even safe in your own like home of you, your body. And that is not going to promote any healing either. Okay. So yeah, so that's one of the skills. And the other skill is letting people be wrong about you. Allow them to be wrong about you. Okay. This is one I love because I'm, you know, you can just let them as if you had any control over them anyway. But when you just let people be wrong about you and like, okay, so they'll think I'm selfish. Okay. That's all right. They can be wrong about me. I know I'm not selfish. When you do that, the sense of empowerment, and at the same time, then you are actively loving yourself because you know that you're different and that's all that really matters. It's like you're holding the best kept secret, right? They can be wrong about me. That's okay. And then you're not doing the people-pleasing act that is overcommitting or dissociating yourself from your own values. Yeah? It's the best. Yeah. So let people be wrong about you and have your own back. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to yourself. And the pressure that you put on yourself, we all do it. Look, we all do it. Trauma or not, we are all our own worst critic, right? But especially when we're healing from the kinds of things that we're healing from, you have got to start becoming aware of the way that you're speaking to yourself so that you can actively love yourself through it and start opening up possibilities for yourself. Okay. If not, you'll keep them blocked. You'll keep the trauma down. You will keep these, your future goals, possibilities. You will block those out too. And so I know you don't want that for yourself. And I sure as fuck don't want that for you. Okay. So yeah. And then if you want that PDF with all the little self-care things to do and ways to move yourself out of being people-pleasing fawning, then check the link. Okay. All right, you guys. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing, if you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.